This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and this is our radio special edition of the Get Lit Book Club, and we always have music as part of our book club experience. So, joining me now are Muna. And this is Silk Chiffon.
Watch your silk dress dancing in the wind. Watch it brush against her skin. Makes me wanna try her on. Like life's so fun, life's so fun. Got my mini skirt and my rollerblades on. Bag on my side cause I'm out till dawn. Keeping it light like silk chiffon. Life's so fun, life's so fun.
That's indie pop trio Muna and Phoebe Bridgers with Silk Chiffon, a song Rolling Stone described as a queer worm. The song was the lead single for Muna's self-titled third album, which dropped on Friday. The Guardian gave the album a perfect 5 out of 5, calling Muna one of pop's best bands. Stereogum says they're bound for pop stardom, which in itself is a remarkable feat for a band that had been dropped from a major label just 2 years ago. Our Get Lit with All of It musical guests, band members Katie Gavin. Hey, Katie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Naomi McPherson. Hi, Naomi.
Hello there. Happy to be here.
Hello. And Josette Maskin. Hey, Josette.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing great, and I'm really happy that y'all are here. Thank you for making the time today. So, Katie, why did you guys decide to name this record after the band? It's your third record. That kind of often happens with debuts.
Right. I think that that came from a creative conversation we had with our friend Isaac, who shot this album cover and mm-hmm. the previous album cover. We sent him the songs, and we had a conversation with him, and it was one of the first people that gave us feedback on the whole record. And he said something along the lines of, like, I feel like y'all are really coming into your own at this stage in your lives as individuals. Nice. And, you know, as the band. And so he was like, I want to just shoot portraits of you guys for the album cover. And he said, do you know what the album's going to be called? And we were like, well, I guess it would make sense to just call it Muna. So yeah, it came out of that conversation.
Naomi, what was it like to hear someone say you sound like yourself, like you're coming into your own? That's such an interesting statement to come from a friend.
Yeah, I mean, we've known him since we were at university. He's one of, like, my, you know, my oldest friends, and it meant a lot coming from him, for him to say that. And it also sort of resonated with all three of us in the sense that, like, we are all, you know, queer people in our late 20s, and I think a lot of queer people, and I guess just probably marginalized people in general, can relate to, you know, having a sort of second adolescence when you're in mm-hmm. when you're in your later 20s. So yeah, it felt apt. It was a kind and apt observation.
Ooh, adolescence in your 20s sounds much better than adolescence at 14.
Both are bad.
Both aren't great.
Both are bad. Maybe this one was better, but both are interesting.
Interesting.
Maybe that's the word.
Yeah, we'll go with that one. So, Josette, you're signed to Phoebe Bridgers' Satisfactory Records, which I love to say out loud. The first time I interviewed Phoebe and I said it out loud, I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, Satisfactory, I get it. You just came off a major label. What was the appeal of joining a small imprint?
I mean, I think the issue that we had at our major, and, you know, our experience at our major was actually really wonderful. We had a wonderful A&R, but the thing that interests us was getting more attention and more, I think, creative space to figure out how to market a band like us. You know, we're not a mm-hmm. typical band. We are avant-garde in presentation, but we do make essentially pop music. So that was definitely one of the initial thoughts that we had when signing to Satis. But it was also the same way that we decided to sign with RCA was the same way we decided to sign with Phoebe, because Phoebe wanted us to keep doing what we were doing and just wanted to support us. So nice. We decided that when we signed with RCA, and we get to do the same thing, and it seems to work out so far.
My guests are Katie Gavin, Naomi McPherson, and Josette Maskin. They are Muna. The new album is called Muna. It just dropped last week. I want to play a track called What I Want, and here are some of the lyrics. I spent way too many years not knowing what I wanted, how to get it, how to live it, and now I'm going to make up for it all at once, because that's just what I want. Katie, what do you want the listener to think about when they get to this song on the album?
The first word that comes to mind for me is permission. Mm. I want this song to come with a sense of permission and a sense of acceptance of maybe that part of you. I feel that this song is very related to that feeling of, you know, maybe a later adolescence for, you know, myself as a queer individual, and like taking ownership of certain kinds of desires that maybe previously I wasn't really willing to own or look at because of a sense of shame. So I think I'm really hoping that, you know, this song, writing it, it helped me. I co-wrote it with this other amazing queer songwriter, Leland, and writing it helped me have a sense of permission and ownership. And I hope that listeners can receive that same gift.
Here's Muna, What I Want.
When I go out again, I'm gonna drink a lot. I'm gonna take a shot, 'cause that's just what I want.
That's What I Want from Muna's new album, Muna. So, Josette, once you all have a seed of a song, I mean, Katie's the lead songwriter of the band, but you I imagine, are very collaborative. Once you get a seed of a song, what happens next?
I think it really depends on the song, but immediately I think Naomi and I spring into action and have manic text messages about what we want to do. But really, I mean, it's super collaborative. We go down into our basement studio and we just kind of get working. Some songs will give you the direction to go, and some you kind of have to sculpt more. I think What I Want, because of the initial beat that Naomi made, we kind of knew what to do with it. But, you know, every song is a journey and you just kind of got to ride with it.
Josette, what do you do when... You know, sometimes when you have, I guess, writer's block, what happens when it's just not going on the journey, when you get a little stymied?
We actually, Naomi and I, when we were like earlier in 2020, before, you know, all hell broke loose, we came up with the philosophy of princess work, where we don't work for a super large amount of time to not like spoil an idea. And if like one of us is feeling like we can't go further with the song, we put it down for a while. We don't want to ruin the seed of the song. And, you know, sometimes the song gets put down forever, and sometimes you put it down for a minute and you kind of listen to something, or we're having a conversation about something and that leads to a new idea. But we really try to treat it very gingerly, because, you know, a song is precious and we want to just lead the way for the song and not get in the way of it.
Katie, let's listen to another song called Solid. Where did this song begin?
This song actually started initially in 2018. It's like probably the oldest song on the record, and it just didn't find a place on our second album, but it was always sort of in the back of our mind as like a song that we all thought was quite fun and deserved to be worked on. And it just sort of circled its way back around in 2020. And we, you know, took it out of the archives and worked on it a little bit. And it's been pretty fully formed since its inception. But yeah, definitely a very like 80s inspired song. A lot of, you know, a lot of our favorite music comes from that era. A lot of everyone's favorite music comes from that era. So we are not immune to that inspiration. Yeah, that's solid.
Let's hear Solid from Muna.
She is not a screen on which you project. She is not a scene on your movie set. She is not a mirror in which you reflect. Yeah, she is a material substance.
Shade of Till Tuesday in the best way from the 80s for sure in that one.
We'll take it.
My guests are Muna, Katie Gavin, Nomi McPherson, and Gisette Maskin. Okay, so tell me if this is true or not, because, you know, the internet, that you all got 7.7 tattooed on your arms. Is that true?
Yes, we did do that.
All right.
We did that pretty recently, actually.
Gisette, I'll let you explain why. Now that I know it's true.
We'll do anything for the joke of it, I think. But maybe I'm the least, I'm not as internet savvy as maybe Katie and Naomi, but Pitchfork is rumored to give queer artists and queer loved music 7.7. Our last record got 7.7. And a lot of, you know, wonderful queer artists have gotten 7.7. And so we thought it would be funny to get it tattooed on us for a Pitchfork feature. And we'll kind of do anything, to be honest, for a laugh. I think our philosophy with the record is to try to have fun and do things that, you know, we think are funny. And this was just one of the things that we got to do.
Katie, in the last segment, we spoke to the author Chantal V. Johnson about her novel Post-Traumatic, and there's this scene that takes place in a karaoke bar, and Tears for Fears are played, Depeche Mode, Lisa Loeb, they all get dropped. Katie, what's your go-to karaoke song?
We try as a band to stick to the philosophy of like letting people who are not professional musicians have the floor in the karaoke bar. Like, my main role is like, I want to sing along and support everyone who, you know, doesn't get to perform on a regular basis like we do. But that being said, we do have a history of doing karaoke together. And I think my first place that I go is Sinead. I like doing like a karaoke song where I'm doing a bit of a voice, like a bit of an impersonation. I feel like maybe that's my way of escaping, you know, this awkwardness of the fact that I do sing for a living. But I actually heard Chantal say that she does Cloud Busting by Kate Bush, which made me say, oh, that's a good choice.
Naomi, Gisette, how about you?
I think we're of the same mind as Katie in letting other people, you know, sort of take the floor there, and we can cheer on from the sidelines. Although Katie and I have performed Go Your Own Way before, but that was truly a one in a million occasion. I think we do abstain from karaoke primarily.
We're going to go out on the last song, Loose Garment. Katie, what would you like people to listen for in this track?
Wow. I'm so glad that you're playing this song. I think that this song is one of the best. Like, there's so many amazing production choices on this song. I'm really proud of Naomi and the journey that they went on finishing this song for the record. I think that, you know, this song for me was about recognizing the progress in my life that has taken me to a space where I can feel painful feelings, yeah. But have a compassionate relationship with myself, like through that. So just this sense of space, and almost like the metaphor is seeing sadness as this kind of it's very full circle because yeah. it's seeing it as this like garment flowing in the wind. Obviously the first single on this record was Silk, Watch Her Silk Dress Dancing in the Wind. But I think just listening for that, you know, the beauty inside of those painful feelings.
I want to say thanks to Muna. The new album is called Muna and it dropped on Friday. Let's go out on Loose Garment. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.